Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to Rosé and DNA, a brand new podcast about women who are making waves in science, healthcare, and tech. I'm Deanna.
And I'm Renee, and we're two professionals working in the field of genetics.
Today, we have a very special guest on Rosé and DNA, Jamie Brown. Jamie is based in Boston, Massachusetts, and works as a freelance wine and beauty writer, editor, and content creator with a passion for rosé and red lipstick. So of course, when we connected with Jamie on social media, we knew we had to learn more. In addition to her role as lead content creator at TryWine.com, she also contributes to Food and Wine, Apartment Therapy, Scouted by the Daily Beast, Thrive Global, and her blog, LipstickandRosé.com.
And not only is this a special episode to be speaking with someone in the wine industry, we're so excited that Jamie has actually offered to teach us how to taste rosé as part of our interview today, which some of you may know we desperately need based on our past wine reviews. So Jamie, before we jump into the tasting of different rosés today, we'd love to hear more about your passion for rosé. You've mentioned that you're on a mission to make rosé a year-long drink instead of being confined to the fun, summery reputation it currently has. So we want to know, why rosé?
Couple of reasons why rosé. Main reason why rosé is it was the drink of choice when my best friend and co-founder of Swedish Jealousy Lipstick, that is our drink of choice when we were creating the brand, we would drink that. But also we would drink it when we'd get together for girls' night, when we'd have like play dates with the kids and we just hang around while the kids are playing around. That was our drink, you know, just our go-to drink, drink of choice to drink during the day was rosé. The other reason why I drink rosé is because red wine, I don't know if it was because I was getting older, but red wine, for some reason, just didn't agree with my stomach anymore. Before I would be able to have, you know, at least three glasses of red wine, Cabernet Sauvignon. After a while, I couldn't drink it anymore. For some reason, it just messed with my stomach. So I had to move, as much as I loved wine, I had to move away from red. And I wanted to move to a varietal that wasn't a white wine. So that was another reason why I leaned into rosé. And also because of the color. Like, I'm such a Barbie girl. Like, I grew up, you know, my room was like throw up pink. It was just shades of pink everywhere. I just love the color pink. And when I started exploring more and learning more about rosé, I realized that all the different wine regions had their own shade and color of a rosé. So not one rosé is equal to another. So a Provence rosé would be different from an Italian rosé. I mean, even the name is different in Italy. It's a rosato, not a rosé. So once I started learn more about it, I fell more in love with the pink drink, and that's how I came to be passionate about rosé.
That's awesome. I feel like, you know, now that we've learned a little bit more about your interest in rosé, it's kind of making me thirsty. So I'm wondering if you could walk us through how to taste rosés and what we should be, you know, looking for when we you know, are trying different rosés, or when we're kind of at the grocery store, like picking up a bottle of rosé even.
Right. So when you are right now, when you, you know, start tasting your rosé, your varietals that you have are of a Grenache, which is a Provençal rosé from Provence. And you want to start with the five S's. Those are like the five steps. So when you're tasting just any part of wine tasting, whether it's a rosé, a white wine, a red wine. And the five S's are to see, swirl, sniff, sip, and then savor. So the first step we're going to do right now is to see. And to see, you want to make sure that you have a white background. So if you have a plain piece of white paper, you want to use that to look at the hue to see what color the wine is. So if it's a pale pink, if it's a light to medium pink, if it's a blush, dark salmon, light salmon, there's at least five shades when it comes to looking at certain types of wine regions. So Renee, you will, if you have a plain Grenache, yours is going to be very pale.
Super pale.
Yep.
And I'm drinking, just for listeners, the Gris Blanc from Gerard Bertrand. It's a 2019 rosé.
Yes. Gerard Bertrand is one of my faves.
Yes. I think I've already had one of these wines on the podcast before. So
okay,
already a favorite.
I have a Tavel. Tavel Rosé from 2019. And it is.
Yep, Tavel, that's another really good wine brand. And yours is actually a blend, correct? You have a Grenache and a Syrah blend?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So because of the two varietals, your color is going to be a little more darker because the juices that macerate together are going to create a different hue than Renée's.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit darker than what I can see from Renée's, kind of an orangish tint.
Yeah, I can see that from here, like an orange pink, an orange salmon, a dark orange salmon.
Definitely, yeah.
So now that we looked at the color, you want to swirl. Swirling releases the aromas, and it releases the aromas because it adds air to it. So you'll help to notice the different smells, aromas, and which also helps to you taste the flavors of the wine.
Mm-hmm. When you like put a glass of wine in someone's hand, like the immediate thing is to swirl, but it's nice to know why we do that.
Oh, yes. There's reasons why they see people intensely swirling their glass around. And now you are going to, after you swirled, you're going to sniff. And sniffing involves actually placing your nose to the top rim of the glass. If you have a wide rimmed glass, you can put your whole face into it. But if you don't, mm-hmm. at least make sure you can get your whole nose in there to the top mm-hmm. of your lip so you can inhale deeply the aromas.
I actually have a question about the glasses. So yes. I know they're all different shapes, but what is the optimal shape of glass for rosé?
So with rosé, you can actually use a red wine varietal glass because mm-hmm. guess what? Rosé is made with red wine varietals. So they have glasses that are specifically made for rosé, but mm-hmm. you can also use a glass that's made for a Pinot Noir varietal as well. Like I have Riedel glass. It's a Pinot Noir wing and it's a huge glass and it's for Pinot Noir, but you can also use it for rosé because it helps mm-hmm. to open up the rosé.
Okay, great.
So now that you've sniffed, what do you smell? What are the aromas? The aromas should have names like berries, any type of berry, whether it's a raspberry or a cherry or a strawberry. It could also have some citrus flavors, like grapefruit.
I would say mine is like a mix of strawberry and grapefruit notes okay. that I'm smelling.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely getting strawberry notes. I have to use the jargon.
Yes, you have to use the jargon. But it's easy jargon. A lot of people get really intimidated because they're not sure what words to use. Mm-hmm. As long as you're using, you know, fruit forward and then explaining what it is that you're smelling, right? You want to be able to say, yeah, it smells like fruit, but it's like, yeah, what fruit are you smelling, right? So be able to distinguish the types of fruits. And the more you taste, the more you'll become familiar with it. And it's just a matter of tasting, right? It's just a matter of tasting different wines, trying different wines, trying different regions, learning about the different varietals and what the grapes offer as far as aromas and flavors, and you'll be able to distinguish. So now that we've saw and swirled and sniffed, now it is time to sip.
The best part.
So for sipping, there's a couple of things. Some people find it easy to sip. And when you sip, you actually use it like you want to gurgle the wine. So it wants to be the same way that you would gurgle mouthwash and swish the wine within your mouth so it hits both sides of your cheeks. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you'll be able to really experience the flavors is on the inside of your cheeks. So swish it from side to side. Mm-hmm. That's one way. So you can try that way first.
I'm trying to do it into the mic so our listeners can hear.
I feel like I need a bib.
And then the other way is more of like if you're slurping soup. Mm-hmm. So if it was really hot and you had to slurp it, that lets the air in it. Also, so the same way you would swirl the wine, you take a sip, but you'd also, as if you were going to slurp a ramen noodle. And that also adds air and helps to oxidize it. And you can capture flavors that way as well. It takes some practice.
Just burned a little bit.
There you go, Renée.
I definitely feel like I taste more of, you know, everything more when I slurp it rather than the mouthwash.
Right.
Method.
How about you, Z?
Yeah, I agree. But you can taste it like in the middle of your tongue too when you do that.
Yeah. So what do you taste Now that you've smelled, do you taste what you smell? Do you taste different flavors?
I feel like it's a little like drier than like the fruitier.
Yes, the greens are very dry.
Okay. Oh, yay. I'm on the right track. I feel like it's once I actually taste it, it's much drier than what I was expecting, which I like. So that's a great thing. Because I usually like anything that's like super sweet, I veer away from. But this is kind of perfect for me, to be honest.
Indeed. You should have more fruit forward flavors.
Definitely. I mean, it's not super sweet, but it's still like very fruity, I would say.
Right. So when you're talking about the taste after you sip, you want to talk about the finish and the sweetness. So what's the body, meaning the weight in your mouth? Is it a light body? Does it have body? Medium body? Probably too heavy because it's a rosé. D, yours is going to be heavier than Renee's because you're dealing with a grape that has a little, two grapes that have more of a body. Where Renee's just dealing with a Grenache.
Mm. Yeah, I would say also, this is a much lighter.
Right. You also use terms like dry, watery, crisp, acidity, dry. Those terms also help to describe the body and the finish. Like, does it have a mineral finish at the end? Some rosés have minerality. White wines definitely have a lot of mineralities. Mm. With rosés, because they don't sit long, they're made to be drank right away. It's just an easy consumable, something that you would sit in an oak aged barrel.
Mm-hmm. This one almost feels like it sits longer than I would anticipate for a rosé. Like I still have the taste. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have, rosés aren't too tannic. You won't find many that have that many tannins, but they will have some body. Meaning that when it feels like, you know, the alcohol level, depending on the alcohol content. Mm-hmm. So does it burn going down? Do you feel it more in the back of your throat, or is it just a nice finish?
It doesn't burn, but it's definitely not. It definitely has a touch of that, I guess.
Right. And especially, Renee, do you feel the same when it goes through the back? Like, do you have that sensation of longer lasting finish, quick finish?
It's pretty quick, I would say.
Yeah.
This one, it doesn't really sit on the palate very long. It's kind of just a nice crisp sip and then it's gone, which is, kind of ideal.
Great. Well, you have just learned how to taste the wine.
Wow. Yay. Thank you so much. If you are tuning into the podcast, this is the spot where we typically would have a sponsor, which we have none at the moment. So if you are interested in sponsoring our podcast, we would be very grateful. We'll make sure that those proceeds go towards organizations that are supporting women, femmes, and non-binary folks in science. Well, you have so much knowledge about rosé and how to taste wine and all of that. How did you gain all of this knowledge?
So a lot of it was through self-interest. And I guess I can say that it started when I created my blog during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So during the pandemic, I had to pivot my career from teaching dance classes to something that allowed me to be inbound, because everybody was inbound at the time.
Right.
And for a long time, I wanted to create a blog. I just didn't know what I wanted to create a blog around. And I never really investigated it. I guess I felt like it was too intimidating. And I was like, well, now I have the time, so I might as well do it.
Yeah. And same with us for the podcast.
Right. You have all this time and you're like, well, what am I going to do with all this time?
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, I'll create a blog centered around my two favorite things, red lipstick and rosé. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing that, I had the time to also research how to create a blog, but also get back into writing. And when I got into the writing, I started researching how to like freelance write. Mm-hmm. And when I like became part of a community and learned how to freelance write, I started finding things like the Writer's Den. I joined Twitter because I never, it was just like, I don't need Twitter. Why would I join Twitter? But during my research, I saw that a lot of editors hang out on Twitter, right? Like they hang out on Twitter. they do job searches on Twitter. I had to get on LinkedIn. So I learned all these different resources on my own on how to contact editors after doing a couple of like webinars, writing webinars. Mm. And then in the summer, when, you know, the uprising happened with the Black Lives Matter, a lot of publications were looking for women of color, looking for their views and their stories. And really it just opened the door to writers everywhere who just wanted to talk about anything and everything. Yeah. So that was my way in, and that's how I got into writing for publications and get my foot in the door and reaching out to Food and Wine and went from there. So it kind of grew really quick. but it was like the perfect time. The perfect time for me to start the blog and the perfect time for me to just, you know, put myself out there. And it made me realize too, made me actually think back to when I was in high school. I used to edit everyone's papers, like realizing that people would give me their paper in high school and I would read over it and I'd notice, oh, you're missing a period or you're missing a semicolon.
Yeah.
Not knowing that that's what writers do. It was just one of my peeves where I'd read someone's paper and I'm like, you didn't finish a sentence, or this is a fragment sentence, or this is a run-on. And so then I was like, oh, I've actually been doing this since high school and not even realizing that I've been doing it since high school. So comes around full circle and you don't even realize.
Really? Yeah. You mentioned, your career kind of took off during the pandemic. And I feel like that's been the case for a lot of people. And then adding on top of that, you being a woman of color and kind of being sought out for these opportunities in light of, you know, the George Floyd protests and all of that. I imagine that's kind of a weird dichotomy between mourning these horrible tragic events, you know,
right,
all of these uprisings, but also having, as you mentioned, like this opportunity to really create your own brand and really jumpstart your career in that way. I'm wondering what that was like for you.
It was, honestly, still to this day, it still feels a little weird because I'll read articles. Like I read one yesterday that said, my business flourished from the death of a Black man, right? Yeah. And it's a Black-owned business who, you know, it's a man, he's it's actually the Cracker King. He's 56 years old, but he's been trying desperately for years to get his, he had this really good product and he always had doors shut in his face. And
yeah,
because of what happened last summer, everyone started gravitating toward Black-owned brands.
Right.
And while that's great in the sense where it's like, why did it have to take something so tragic in order for us to be recognized?
Right.
So there is that sense of dichotomy where it's like, this is great, but then it's like, oh, the premise of why it's, you know, how I got in the door, you know, still makes me think.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, you know, it's great to hear that, you know, regardless, especially during this pandemic, this has been something that you've been able to turn into something really good and you've been able to reach and inspire so many people. I mean, clearly your brand has grown quite quickly.
Right. And even with the Instagram too, because I didn't know where that was going to take me either. Because once I created the blog and then I decided what is it I really wanted to do with my Instagram platform, where it's supposed to be not just about pretty pictures, but you're actually, there's a message behind the picture, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the message? And when I started my Instagram and Rosé with Jamie and creating posts and then people commenting like, oh, I never knew that. Mm-hmm. I never knew that about Rosé. Oh, really? Rosé is made from red wine? Like, I was like, oh, people really don't know this stuff. So, you know, realizing that also, my Instagram posts have been helping people learn more about the pink drink and become a little more fascinated about the pink drink, I guess, because they didn't drink it. They've only seen it in the summer. So it was kind of like this fly by night, you know, drink that comes and goes and then it's not here to stay. So, you know, they fall in love with this drink. It's gone. And then the winter comes and they're like, well, I guess I'm back to drinking red wine. It's like, no, you can drink rosé still. Like there's other rosés that you can drink in the winter. Like, Dee, you have that rosé. That's considered a winter one.
Okay.
Yep. So there's you can continue drinking rosé all year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just knowing which varietals to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So once I realized that, you know, I'm actually helping people learn more, it helped me to pale down what it was I wanted to do with Instagram and not so much worry about, you know, how many likes and how many followers, but just realize that I have a little community here that checks me out every day, looks at my corny reels and my, you know, content pictures, and just to learn a little bit more about wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I think that's one of the things we love, just like having, even if it's a small community, like educating someone on something. And I know, you know, looking at your posts, I've definitely learned more about wine, even just to have like small fun facts about it. I think those are really helpful and things that, you know, people can take away from it or save for a later date.
Yeah. And I'm just now learning too, because, you know, Instagram, I feel like it's constantly something every single day. But learning how, just realizing that, oh, you don't have to continue to create new content. You can use older content because you always have a fresh new pair of eyes on your page, right? Mm-hmm. So recycling content that you posted maybe like 3 weeks ago. Because I'm always just thinking, oh, I got to create this. I have to create a new picture. I have to do this. And it's like, actually, you don't. Like, you're either reminding someone, refreshing their memory, or you're teaching someone who's never come across your page.
Yeah.
Now they learned about you. So I'm like, oh, okay. So now I don't have to hound for, what am I going to create today? What am I going to do today? I can just use stuff, you know, recycle my content that I've had and repost it.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of one of, you know, the things we wanted to explore with you is, we've talked with some other guests about freelance writing or consulting gigs. They can be really stressful because there's so many organization skills and like you need a lot of self-motivation. So it sounds like, you know, recycling content is one thing that you've learned over time. Are there any other like particular skills that kind of help you stay motivated and organized as you kind of build your brand and create everything really on your own?
You know what? I used to, before 2021, let's say December of 2020, so not too far ago.
Feels like years ago.
But I'm, I would create like 10 goals for myself for the day, right? And I'd write it down and I'd be bummed because I'd get stuck on two goals. And I'm like, oh, I didn't finish the other eight. And then I would get worked up and become anxious. And then this year I realized, I was like, if I did one thing, why can't that be the one thing that I did? Why do I have to feel like I did these 10 things and I didn't finish it in that one day? How does that make me not, you know, have the goals that I wanted to set? So with the organization, I will put down at least two for the day. I know that I have to do this, and every day I'll keep working on, like I have an article due, every day I'll make sure that I work on that article instead of having it done in one day. Because I would literally try to like finish it in one day and get stressed out and then don't eat. It's time to cook dinner, like try to fit all these things in. So now I'm just learning to just organize in a way where I can have these little chunks of time, rest a bit, do what I have to do, and then get back, instead of hounding myself and creating these lists of like, I have to do this. I didn't finish this. Oh my gosh, I have to do that. Oh, I didn't finish this. But just, you know, adding social media, I have to post, you know, posting, you're supposed to post at this time. It's just, you create these like weird routines and weird goals that you get stressed out about, where it's like, you don't even have to.
Yeah. They're like, so unrealistic expectations. Yeah.
Right. These unrealistic expectations. So I'm starting to realize, like, you know, you're just going to wake up, you're going to have your coffee, you'll start work at 9:30, and you know, your brain is open. Then you can start writing. Make sure you stop at noon, you know? So I've been trying to find time to read, even if it's just 10 minutes for the day, if I don't get to do it at night, to make sure that I have time just to eat something, to make sure that I've eaten something. I did a little chunk of what my goal was. And then if I post to Instagram, I posted. If I didn't, guess what? I didn't post.
Yeah.
So learning how to just be in the moment, I'm trying to be present and organize myself in the way that I don't feel worked up and anxious. Because I tend to get very, if there's a deadline, it's like, I want to finish it. I want to turn it in at 9 a.m. even though I have 5 days to do it. But it's just very like, I want to get it done. And I'm learning how to pace myself. So last year I was like all over the place with organization, to answer your question. And this year I'm just being a little more cognizant and present.
I love that. I mean, I feel like if 2020 taught us anything, I feel like a lot of us are walking away from that year with that in mind, really just like stay grounded, be true to yourself, stay, you know, stay as sane as possible. Cause you know, we're so not in control of what the world is doing around us. And what's most important is just doing what makes us happy. And honestly, I feel like those are the brands that, you know, really skyrocket to success, or the people where you really trust that they love what they're doing. And I feel like that's something that, you know, we've seen from your Instagram and everything. It's, you have this passion and you're just running with it. And that's what's most inspiring for people who are kind of following along.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to take away, there's a brand that I work with, and, you know, he said something to me that just resonated. He was like, don't get stuck on how many followers you have. You have really great content, and those will come when they come. The people won't come when they come. You just continue to do what you do.
Yeah.
And the people who love you will stay. And then you, you know, your recognition will come when it's time. Don't try to keep reaching this like high mountain. And I guess I feel like looking on Instagram, you tend to get, well, I do anyway. I look at what someone else has. I'm like, oh, they've been around. They have this and they do that. And I'm still here and I'm still trying to do this. And you can get a little envious of what other people are showing as far as their career and as far as brands taking off. And I'm just learning that I can only do what I can do. And this time, and my time will come when it's my time.
Yeah. Well, we are watching and, you know, cheering you on, because I think what you have going on is going to, you know, educate and make a lot of people enthusiastic about what you have to say.
Thanks. I'm ready for it.
You know, one thing that you mentioned briefly before was your product, Swedish Jealousy Lipsticks. And I think, you know, that is something that's just, when we heard about it, we were just so impressed by it, because, you know, the idea of creating a product on your own from start to finish is just, it seems so overwhelming. And I can't even imagine what that looks like, especially in beauty. And so I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what that journey looked like for you and how it started, how it's going, and then maybe some of the challenges that you faced when you're setting that up.
Sure. So the journey, how it started, obviously we had a glass of rosé in hand. and one day we were literally playing with makeup. We were just in the mirror. The kids were off playing. We were in the mirror, and Mika, she was like, babe, let me try your lipstick and you try my lipstick, right? And, you know, Mika is Swedish, so we're clearly different ethnicities and different skin tones. And I tried hers on and she tried mine on, and we were like, oh, this looks, you know, oh, that's not cute, right? Doesn't look good on you, doesn't look good on me. So we were really kind of stunned, like, why? Because she was like, it looks so good on you. Like, your lipstick looks really good on you. And then her lipstick looked really good on her. But we were still puzzled, like, why doesn't it look good? Like, why can't you use my lipstick? Or why couldn't I use your lipstick? That's where we were like, why isn't there just one lipstick or two lipsticks that friends could share? Like, if you wanted to wear it, no matter what color they were, you could wear it. If we were in a bathroom somewhere and you're like, babe, you have any lipstick on you? I'd give you my lipstick and you can put it on. Like, that was just the concept of where it came from. And then from there, we really started talking about it. We took a trip to New York City to get, you know, do some research, because there's the lip bar. So a lot of the ideas that we stemmed from came from the lip bar, and we took a trip to New York City. And after the trip, did some research on manufacturers that were in the United States, because we knew we wanted it to be made in the USA. So we wouldn't have to like travel, you know, back and forth to different countries. So found a manufacturer that was in New York. We knew we wanted it to be cruelty-free and gluten-free in case people had, you know, gluten allergies. You know, you lick your lips, so just want to be able to, if it's ingested, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then testing formulas. So playing with samples from the manufacturers to see, starting off with two shades. And of course, my favorite shade is red lipstick and hers is nude. So her trying on a red looked good on her, me trying a nude looked good on me. And those were the two shades that we ran with, which are called Week and Weekend. And the Weekend is that just red coral shade that we wanted to have just a pop of color because we're also moms. So we wanted to be able to wear a color that if we were picking the kids up from school or after school grocery shopping, people weren't looking at us like, why are they wearing these hot ass red lipstick when they're picking up their kids from school? Like, why? So we wanted to make sure that we had a cute color, but it wasn't a loud color where you look weird picking your kid up from school wearing this bright red lipstick.
So
that's how it started. How it's going, it's going. I've been applying for grants. I have been trying to get us in front of retailers looking for Black-owned businesses. Mm. I applied for accelerator programs and incubator programs such as Sephora and Target, and we didn't get in, but I'm sure there's so many people applying, like, you know, it's just, we're, you know, a needle in a haystack. So just, you know, trying to put ourselves out there, putting ourselves out there on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And how it's going now is we actually have been found on Instagram with our efforts by different apps and companies and influencers who, by word of mouth, either by people who have purchased our lipstick, because a lot of our lipsticks have come from word of mouth, which is like the old school way of advertising, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. not so much paying for ads, but people who have purchased our lipstick and like, oh my God, I love it. And they'll tell their friend. Mm-hmm. So word of mouth referrals. There's actually this new app that just came out last year called Between. And what they do is they have brands on there and it's a word of mouth service. So say if Dee, you purchased the lipstick and then you told Renee would get a discount because you told her, you referred
mm-hmm.
her. Oh. So we just joined that recently. And then the goal this year was to get in touch with influencers who wouldn't mind getting product and posting about the product, because we're still in the early stages where we can't afford to pay influencers for sponsored posts. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal that we're working on this year, is influencers continuing to put ourselves out there, see if we can get funding, because we have so many ideas that we want to do for this year that got halted for last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's still going. We're getting up there.
Yeah.
We're still pretty small, but I mean, again, in due time, I believe with our continued efforts, we'll be where we want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so interesting, I think, to hear about that type of journey. Cause I mean, most of the times we're actually interviewing, you know, scientists, as you know, who have totally different career paths, and mm-hmm. we just don't have the opportunity to learn about this kind of industry and what that looks like. So I think it's pretty interesting to hear, you know, how there are actually some similarities.
Mm-hmm. Like applying to grants.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have never thought there were grants in beauty. Like, I don't know why that just wasn't something that I was familiar with, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Grants and mainly women owned. So I've been looking at a lot of like women owned grants. Like, we're part of the iFund Women, mm-hmm. iFund Women of Color, the Female Founders Collective. Like, we're just trying mm-hmm. to get ourselves mm-hmm. known. You know, just, and the next thing that I have to do is the Small Business Administration to see if we can get like a mentor and then get some more advice on like how to become a certified women-owned brand, which takes like 6 months to a year. So a lot of these grants too, it's unfortunate that they want to see you have at least 10K or 25K of revenue before they even decide to, you know, mm-hmm. give you money. And we're kind of like on the other end where we're like, we actually need money to start.
Yeah. Right.
Like, we need
I would
money.
Imagine that's most brands. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it hasn't stopped us. We're continuing to move forward.
We will definitely be purchasing your lipstick. I was just looking at the website the other day.
Yeah, we actually launched four more shades too, because we want to keep it. We launched four more shades. We kept the name Week and Weekend, but the destination is going to change. So Week and Weekend will always be part of the name of mm-hmm. the colors. But it depends on where you are. So we launched Week and Weekend in Barcelona, which is like a light peach and dark peach. And then we launched Week and Weekend in Zurich. So those are more like wintry icy pearl tones.
I I love
like it.
Well, that is so cool. I'm very excited to get mine. I'll be your first influencer.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if you're quite influencer status yet, but soon. In the last few minutes that we have with you, I know you mentioned that you're planning a book, and I'm just wondering if you can tell us more about that and, you know, tell everyone where we can find you to stay up to date with what you're up to.
Sure. So, I am writing a book because along my journey of researching rosé, I learned that lipstick had a little bit of a rise and fall, the same way that rosé had a rise and fall. And with their similarities in history, it intrigued me to, you know, want to actually talk about it and write about the history, but not just talk about the history, also branch into your different lip shapes, lipstick personalities, rosé personalities, and just branch them together. So it's a historical fun book at the same time. So you can learn about the histories and similarities between the timeline of, you know, Queen Elizabeth with, there was even like something with World War II, with red lipstick being, you know, the symbol of femininity, the suffragettes. And then rosé also had a rise and fall at the same, you know, during those same times. So talk about the history and then branch into a little bit more of like fun, you know, 50 shades of rosé, 50 shades of lipstick colors. So
I love that.
A fun historical book at the same time that, you know, I'm still writing, that I'll be looking for an editor soon.
Awesome. That's so exciting. I'm really excited to read that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah. I also want to, I also have been looking at, you know, creating a beginner wine course. And just on, because rosé is so large, just focus on one region and the basics of it. And easy to soak up wine course that you can take in like 4 weeks just to learn more about rosé. And then with all the content that I have on rosé with like pictures, to create an ebook. So there's so many things that I'd like to do because I already have that content sitting there. It's just, it needs to be formulated somehow. So get someone who learns how to do editing, layout, so many things.
It's going to be a big 2021.
Big 2021. Yes.
When the book comes out,
definitely we'll be shouting it among the rooftops because I was thinking of doing self-publishing, but after I've delved more into Amazon and Kindle and self-publishing and what's going awry there and how indie authors aren't getting their due, I think I'm just going to do the traditional literary agent book route.
Another topic I know nothing about, but sounds really daunting.
Yeah.
Great. Well, before, you know, you have so many brands and things to promote yourself. Anything you want to leave the listeners with in terms of charities, causes, or just your own brands that you want to promote?
That's a good one. So, we are in Black History Month. Mm-hmm. So actually I can do a little plug on an article that I'm writing for Food and Wine. So yeah, I can plug something.
Please do.
So I'm actually writing, it's a list roundup for Black History Month that is featuring Black owned winemakers and wineries that created scholarship funds, resource funds, for Black Indigenous people of color who are looking either to get into wine, looking for more wine resources, or community networks, funding, mentorship programs that wine consumers can, you know, look into learning more about. So I'll be featuring that on Food and Wine. I'll let you guys know when it goes live.
Yeah,
great. Yeah, because there's, the McBride sisters, they make Black Girl Magic wines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they created a fund called She Can. It's a professional development fund. And the funds help women, especially women of color, who are looking to start a business. So they provide funding to help them start their own business. And then, Renee, there's the Urban Grape. I don't know if you've been there, but they're on the staff.
I pretty much buy all of my wine from there at this point.
So TJ and Hadley, his wife, they have this Urban Wine Studies of Color Award, and mm-hmm. they launched that last summer. So it's a yearly award that a recipient receives, and they go through the full training from beginning to end to become professional within the wine industry.
We'll definitely link all of that and make sure, you know, anyone who follows us, if they're interested in learning more about it, they'll have that opportunity.
Yeah. And the link, the article will also have links mm-hmm. to each cause.
Oh, perfect. There
from the winemaker, so they can actually click on it and link back to it. To learn more about their, you know, their funds and their scholarships and grants.
And then just for your own self-promotion, where can anyone who's listening in find you?
You can find my lipsticks at Swedish Jealousy on the website, SwedishJealousy.com. Instagram is Swedish Jealousy, at Swedish Jealousy. And for my blog, Rosé with Jamie, you can find me at lipstickandrosé.com. is the blog. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram is Rosé with Jamie. So at Rosé with Jamie. And I also have Twitter too.
Perfect.
And Twitter is Jamie. It's actually my name, Jamie J. Brown. J-A-I-M-E. J. Brown.
Well, thank you so much. This was, I mean, we definitely, if anyone has listened to past episodes, we definitely needed this tutorial on how to drink wine. So we are so thankful for that. But we're so happy to have been able to talk with you about your own career path and learn about something that we have clearly know nothing about, but mm-hmm. you know, it's definitely growing at a rapid pace for you. And we're so excited to see where it goes.
Thank you. And I appreciate you having me on your platform as well. And I'm so happy now that you will never taste wine ever again the same after this tasting today.
Yes, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, ladies.
Thank you so much. We can't wait to see what's next. And, you know, we'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
If you'd like to nominate someone to be on our podcast, please reach out to us via Twitter or Instagram at RoséAndDNA or our website, roséanddna.com.
And in the meantime, be well, be empowered. And cheers. Yes.